Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Oh, man. Jason, I am in the Christmas spirit. You know, it's a wonderful time of year, and I had the joy of going out with some other folks from First Presbyterian Church, and we were caroling, and I went with my son, because my son is, and I'm talking about George Alexander, my oldest son, who's the financial advisor with Edward Jones over at North Hills. And so George is in the choir at First Presbyterian in downtown Raleigh. And so they had a group caroling. And so my wife and I used to be in the choir until I bought the beach house. And then we're at the beach so often it's not conducive to us and being in the choir anymore. But to be able to go out and enjoy caroling, it was just wonderful. And actually, we had the pleasure of being at the Johnson's house on Lake Wheeler Road, and both Johnsons, husband and wife, are over 100 years old, and they really enjoyed our group being with them. And so that was just, you know, for us, that's all about the Christmas spirit, and we just had a blast. So, I mean, I hope other folks are enjoying the time with friends and going to holiday parties and that everyone is up. Well, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful time of year. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to our Christmas service or our Christmas Eve service. And I will tell you, last weekend, the music at First Presbyterian was absolutely wonderful. And I know many of churches are having special music. And I hope folks will take the time to go to those events, because they're so special, and it's just absolutely wonderful to be able to enjoy this time of year, and that's what it's all about.
It really is, and I know you're so into it. You've got your wonderful festive tie on today with the Christmas gifts on there. It looks good. Of course. And, you know, it's the countdown is on. Christmas is almost here.
Yeah, no question about it. And so, yep. Well, now I need to get into the things that we need to talk about. And, of course, last week I was talking about not just legal documents and how important they are, particularly with estate planning, but how beneficiary designations can either help or destroy a good estate plan. And one of the things that everyone needs to be very, very careful about is to recognize that institutions, banks, credit unions, investment advisory, all of the investment houses, at this point, all of them actually induce you to sign beneficiary designations for your accounts. And I can tell you that they're not doing it because it's necessarily in your best interest. They're doing it to make it easier on the institution. And the problem is that with rare exception, do they ever ask you about what your actual estate plan is? They never call your estate planning attorney to see if a beneficiary designation would actually be helpful for your plan. They just, by default, assume that if you have a beneficiary designation, that it will make things easier or better for you. Now, the fact is, you can use beneficiary designations to your benefit. But like I said, if you just do it the normal way, which is what you're encouraged to do, it may very well destroy a really good plan that you have. And I say that because, yes, a beneficiary designation does allow you to avoid probate and the court administration process. And that has some benefits. But the fact is that when most people do a beneficiary designation, they actually do 100% to their spouse and then equal percentages to their child or children. I get that. Okay. But the fact is that if you have any kind of complicated plan, or I should say any kind of complication in your family, that kind of beneficiary designation can actually not be helpful in your plan. And you say, well, what do you mean by complicated? Well, there are lots of different things, but I mean, there are lots of second and third marriages today where your people divorce or their spouse dies and you remarry, and oftentimes one of the partners or both will have children by previous marriage. That's a big deal in terms of your estate plan. And folks don't realize that the laws related to divorce are totally different from the laws related to a death of a married couple, you know, of one spouse who is married. And so the fact is that oftentimes people use trusts for their children, for their spouse, for if they have a child or grandchild that has issues. And issues can be where a child has special needs, or a child is a spendthrift, or a child has an addiction issue with drugs or alcohol or gambling or you name it. Or sometimes it's because a child is married to a person with some of those issues. You know, those kinds of things. And of course, as parents, we're all of us are, you know, the divorce rate's so high, we're all concerned about the possibility or our desire to protect the legacy that we leave our children, and we don't want it divided up in a divorce proceeding. And there are ways that we can protect that from happening. And so, but the point is, I got to get back to the fact that if we have a will or we have a trust, and we can have a, you know, what we call a living trust, which is one that we create while we're alive, or we can have a testamentary trust, often in our last will and testament. And testamentary is a trust that we create upon our death. But the point is that if we have a beneficiary designation at the bank or at the investment house, that beneficiary designation is going to take priority over any language we have in our will or trust. I mean, so many people think that the last will and testament has priority over anything else we do, and that there all of our property will be distributed the way our will says. And that's absolutely false. That is exact. It's actually the opposite. Fact is that our property is first distributed by the contract at the bank or the house, which, and if we have a beneficiary designation, it means distribute it that way. I mean, as you know, and which typically is 100% to our spouse and then to our children. Well, guess what? If we've created an important trust for our spouse, because we want to take care of our spouse, but then we want the property to go to our children by a previous marriage, or our spouse is sick and we want to make sure that our money is used for the benefit of our spouse and then goes to our own children, you know, those are huge. Or if we have a trust that's set up with a trust for our spouse and or children for tax purposes, that makes a huge difference. And guess what? A beneficiary designation typically is distributed directly to the person, not in trust. And if your beneficiary designation says 100% to your spouse, it cannot go into a trust. And then just recently, I've had a couple different institutions, which really upset me, a couple different institutions said, no, you cannot create a beneficiary designation to a testamentary trust because you don't have a tax ID number or because we don't allow that. Now, to me, that is absolutely crazy that they could dictate how you could do a beneficiary designation. But, you know, a lot of seniors should, in fact, have a trust for their spouse in their last will and testament. And that's an asset protection trust that we create frequently for seniors to protect their spouse in the event that the healthier spouse dies first. Well, guess what? That's a testamentary trust, so it doesn't actually exist unless the healthy spouse dies first. And at that point in time when the will is probated, then the trust becomes valid, and that's when you apply for a tax ID number called an EIN. And for an institution to say, no, you can't leave it to a trust like that because, you know, our policy book doesn't include that, so we're not going to let you do that. Well, heck, for me, if I had an institution do that, I'd move my money so darn fast it's not funny because that's just not right. These places got to get their act together when it comes to folks being able to leave their money the way they want to leave it. It's so important. Now, I know we have to take a break because I'm so long-winded, but we'll come back and keep on this.
Well, it's an important subject because a lot of folks think that, you know, I just want to keep things simple. I want to keep things simple. But as you've laid out, family situations can get things a little bit complicated, and making sure that your documents can account for that is very important. So if you haven't scheduled some time to speak with an elder law attorney, or maybe you have some documents that you've done well into the past and you've never had those reviewed by an elder law attorney, consider scheduling some time with a professional to have those reviewed. You can go to wgalaw.com and reach out to the folks at WG Alexander & Associates. Speak to an elder law attorney, have those documents reviewed so that they are working in the fashion that you want them to. You can also find information at wgalaw.com in terms of scheduling an appointment, as well as their free webinars and seminars that they do the second Wednesday of every month. They have webinars that cover long-term care assistance, as well as asset protection and trust planning, as well as an in-person seminar dedicated to legacy planning. All that information is available at wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button to learn more. The webinars and the seminar are completely free. There's no cost associated with them. You can learn all that information at wgalaw.com or by calling 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. You can go to wgalaw.com if you would like to schedule an appointment with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates, or you can go to wgalaw.com if you would like to learn more about their free webinars and seminars done the second Wednesday of every month. The next set is happening on Wednesday, January 8th. It's a good way to start the year off right with helpful information, whether it's related to a long-term care crisis and financial assistance available to those families dealing with one, helpful information on asset protection and trust planning, as well as legacy planning. Go to wgalaw.com to learn more. Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, we're talking beneficiary designations and why they're so important.
Well, there are other assets that we actually must have or should have a beneficiary designation. So, for instance, with life insurance, you know, life insurance should always have a beneficiary designation. But truthfully, I've never had an issue with a life insurance policy being paid to a trustee of a trust. In fact, life insurance has been doing this forever. In fact, most large life insurance policies should be actually owned by a trust and paid by a trust to keep the value of the life insurance policy out of your estate, which is a very important estate planning concept, if you will. Now, for smaller policies, it really doesn't matter. But for large policies where folks have a lot of money involved, then large policies should be owned by a life insurance policy. But you can have a beneficiary that is a trust or a trustee, I should say, and that works, you know, well. Annuities are similar. You know, they need a beneficiary. And of course, most annuities name a person, generally your spouse or your children, but you can also name a trust and an annuity beneficiary. So that's pretty straightforward. The one area that, in fact, for a lot of folks, it's the largest asset they have that's a little more complicated is retirement accounts. So I do want to talk a good bit about retirement accounts. Now, first of all, you cannot transfer a retirement account to a trust while you're alive. Okay, that would be a taxable event. And if any lawyer tells you to do that, that would be pretty bad malpractice. Okay, so, however, you can have a beneficiary of a retirement account to a trust, but you have to be careful because the trust instrument needs to have a language in it that allows it to accept a retirement account properly. And if it doesn't, then you're stuck with a five-year distribution of that retirement account. And that's generally the worst thing that can happen. So you don't want that, okay? But there's some advisors out there that tell you that you cannot or should not leave retirement accounts to a trust. And that's not true. I mean, the fact is it depends on the trust. I mean, if you have a well-written trust and one provision in the trust being related to how it deals with retirement accounts, then oftentimes a trust is absolutely helpful. In fact, one area where it can be helpful is where for instance, let's say that you're in a second marriage, you have children by previous marriage, and you want to understand how to protect your spouse, but also to protect your children. Well, in most cases, folks do the simple thing, which is to leave the retirement account to their spouse, and secondarily, potentially, to their children. But what folks need to understand that a spouse has the right to roll over your retirement account if it's left directly to them. And that basically means if the spouse has children of his or her own, then after the account is rolled over, the secondary beneficiaries can be changed, because in essence, they're rolling it over to their own account. And then they have full control over the account and can do whatever they want to do. Okay, well, if you wanted anything left to go to your own children, then that's not a good way to do it. But if you have a trust, your trust document, and you leave your retirement account to your trust for the benefit of your spouse, then you can basically limit what the spouse takes to required minimum distributions, or if you feel generous, you can allow some principal distributions over and above that, but limit them so that you know that there will be a substantial portion left for your children when your spouse dies. And then the trust distributes the, you know, it can stay in trust or not, depending on what the circumstances are when your spouse dies. But obviously, if you leave it to your trust for the benefit of your spouse, then the beneficiary cannot be changed by the spouse, because the spouse doesn't own it. And more than likely, you have one of your children as the trustee or co-trustee of that trust for the benefit of the surviving spouse. So, you know, that's the kind of planning tool where it makes all the difference in the world. But the point is that, again, your beneficiary, a designation for your retirement account, is an extremely important tool. Now, the one other thing, I mean, as it relates to retirement, I mean, there are a lot of things we need to talk about when it comes to retirement accounts, and so we can go on with a lot of things. But for those folks who are charitably inclined, and you want to leave a percentage of your estate to your church or other charities, or to the degree that you want a fund created, you know, like a donor advised fund, where you're doing a substantial contribution for either for charitable purposes or tax planning purposes or whatever. The first place that I tell clients to go to in terms of charitable donations is their retirement account. Because when a retirement account, a percentage of a retirement account goes to a charity of any kind, you know, well, I should say a tax exempt charitable donation, whether it's your church or others, that reduces your estate dollar for dollar, and you're giving money that you've never paid income tax on. And the charity doesn't pay any income tax on the receipt or distribution of the retirement account to the charity. So, you know, it's for those folks who are charitably inclined, your retirement account is the first place where you should go to for those kind of distributions. And for seniors who are at least 70 and a half, while they're alive, they should be using their retirement accounts for what's called qualified charitable donations. In other words, they should be giving what they give to charity from their retirement account, at least up to their minimum required distribution, because that's a huge tax savings. And under the current tax law, unless you itemize, which very few people do right now, you don't get any benefit for charitable donations. So using your retirement account when you have required minimum distributions is a no-brainer for those who are at least 70 and a half. Of course, most people don't have required distributions anymore until they're 73, at least those of us who were born after 1951. And everybody else already knows that they have required distribution. So anyway, that's sort of where we are on that. Now, I know there's a lot of other things I can talk about with retirement accounts, but I know we need to take a break.
Don't forget, you can go to WGALaw.com if you would like to register for the free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, January 8th. You can learn more about long-term care assistance. This is helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, looking for assistance, whether it's through Medicaid, VA benefits, help for middle-class families who are very easily can get access to government assistance. It's helpful information and an area where there's, boy, a lot of half-truths and misinformation. So if you can attend, be sure to register in advance by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on that seminars button. There's also a webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. We're talking a lot about trust today. If this is something that you want to learn more information about, you can go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button, and be sure to sign up for the asset protection and trust planning webinar. Or if you prefer to learn in person, there is an in-person seminar at Independence Village of Old Raleigh happening on the evening of Wednesday, January 8th. That's going to cover legacy planning and is a bit of a hybrid of the information covered in the two webinars. All three are free to attend. You can go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button so that you can register for free in advance. You can also call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go if you would like to speak with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates. WGALaw.com is also where you can go to sign up for their free webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, January 8th. Go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top to learn more. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and we are talking about beneficiary designations and retirement accounts. Bill, before we get to that, any housekeeping that we need to address here? I know you always have stuff going on.
Well, actually, one thing that's so important is the fact that I'm leaving WPTF after 20 years, and I had so many folks tell me they wished I was back at 11 o'clock. And I will be, but I would tell folks to check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. My website is wgalaw.com, and check it out, not only for my webinars and seminars, but for my radio show as well. And I hate to be leaving WPTF. I've enjoyed being here on PTF for many, many, many years.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that, Bill. And so let's get back to beneficiary designations in our retirement accounts and why this is so important.
Well, retirement accounts, we no longer have stretch IRAs or lifetime stretches for our children and other beneficiaries. At least the only folks that get the full lifetime stretch, if you will, is the person who created the retirement account and that person's spouse. Now, there's everyone else, and so we're really talking primarily about children and grandchildren, basically has a 10-year distribution requirement. And what that means is that from your date of death, your child has 10 years from your date of death to distribute every penny out of the retirement account. And considering the fact that folks have, for the most part, large retirement accounts when they die, it's a big deal because your children cannot stretch it through their lifetime like you can. They only have 10 years, which depending on circumstances typically means they have actually 11 tax years that they can use to take distributions. Now, they have required minimum distributions for regular retirement accounts. But that's not a very big percentage. That's a very small amount because these folks are young comparatively, and so the percentage that they have to take is very low. And so depending on the circumstances, most of the children are going to need to take about a 1/10 share each year if they want to spread out the tax burden of receiving the money. Now, the big exception for that is if they inherit a Roth, because a Roth grows income tax-free and pays out income tax-free. Now, they still have the 10-year rule, but for them, unless they really need the money, which hopefully they don't, but if they really need the money, if they don't need the money, then their best situation is to retain their Roth in that account for the entire 10 years and then take it out on the 365th day of the 10th year. You know, in essence, to take it out on the 10th anniversary of your death. And not before, because it, like I said, up until you take it out, it grows tax-free and it pays out income tax-free. So, you know, Roth makes for a very different situation when it comes. Now, I want to talk about Roth and Roth conversions and things like that, but before I do, let me mention that for folks that they would have something similar to a stretch, you can, with one technique, stretch retirement account distributions for your children up to about 20 years instead of 10. And there's one way to do it, and it's called a charitable remainder trust. Now, yes, this is where you are leaving at least 10% of the money to a charity, but a lot of folks use charitable remainder trust to avoid capital gains tax during their lifetime, but at your death, you don't generally have to worry about that, and of course, retirement accounts don't have capital gains tax with a retirement account. You just have ordinary income tax when you take the distributions. However, with that said, you can create a charitable remainder trust with equal distributions each month or each year up to 20 years. And then the remainder of the trust assets, which has to be at least 10%, goes to the charity of your choice. So for those folks who want to have a limited amount of income go to a child, and there are lots of different reasons that folks want that, and it all obviously prevents a child from just taking a huge distribution with a big tax burden, so it does even out those distributions over a 20-year period. And so that, for some families, is actually a very nice alternative, whether they have charitable intentions or not, because the children actually get about the same amount of money because you're reducing their tax burden and stretching it out over 20 years rather than 10. So that, I think, is very, very helpful. But what about Roth IRAs? You know, I've seen lots of questions about, can you convert, or does it make sense to convert a regular retirement account to a Roth account? And there's one group of people, seniors, of course, where it makes sense, and that would be those folks who are in the 12% tax bracket. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the tax brackets, but right now the 12% is scheduled to go up to 15% in 2026, but we're talking about a fairly low tax bracket because you only at this level you only have three. You have zero, you have 10%, and then you have 12%. And in 2026, then the 12% goes to 15%. You know, the rates go back up is what it boils down to. So basically, for a married couple, that the 12% tax rate basically means that your taxable income is under $96,000. And for a single person, it's under $48,000. Now, I'm rounding, but the fact is that a lot of folks fall into that category. And if you have a regular, in other words, if you can convert and stay within that tax bracket so that you're not pushing yourself into the next tax bracket, which is 22, you know, that's a pretty big shift from 12 to 22. So you don't want to get there if you don't have to. But a lot of folks have room where they might be able to convert $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 or more, and still be in that 12% tax bracket. And so that's pretty straightforward. For other people, unless they're doing it for the benefit of their children, you know, for most folks, it's a wash. If you're in a tax bracket higher than that, then typically you're not getting any significant advantage by converting to Roth. Now, some folks might, but I mean, it's a case-by-case basis in every case. But typically, you're not getting much of a tax advantage because what you're doing when you're converting, you're paying the income tax now rather than later. And so for folks who are retired, it generally is a wash as to whether you pay it now or you pay it later. You don't get any significant benefit from it. But a lot of folks ask, can I convert my minimum required distribution over to Roth? And the answer to that is no. Okay. However, you know, the fact is that you have to take your required minimum distribution. And if you're obviously, for a lot of folks, if they're charitably inclined, I'd say, you know, use qualified charitable donations, QCDs. You know, tell your investment guy to send the check to your favorite charity or your church. Or a portion of it. The fact is that when it comes to conversion to a Roth, you can, even after you put the money in your account, for seniors, you can add to your up to $8,000 into your Roth. In other words, every year you can contribute 8,000. It's normally 7, but for us seniors, we can do a little bit more. So we can do $8,000 a year. So yeah, while you can't convert your required minimum distribution, you can take up to $8,000 and then put that into a Roth each year. So that does it. Now, if you're converting, if you're doing an actual conversion, you actually can convert as much as you want. I mean, but you have to pay the tax. And so what I do is I look at folks where they are on their tax table and how much they can actually give to a Roth without putting themselves into the next highest tax bracket.
That's helpful information, and if you want more helpful information, be sure to sign up for the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars that happen the second Wednesday of every month. The next set of webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, January 9th. Wednesday, January 8th. You can go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top of the page so that you can register. There are two webinars and an in-person seminar for you to choose from. The webinars cover the subjects of long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. The in-person seminar that evening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh covers legacy planning. If you would like to learn more information about these free webinars and free seminar, go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've covered a lot with beneficiary designations.
Well, we have. And of course, we haven't even gotten through Christmas yet. But, of course, we are nearing the end of the year, which is there are things that I always like to talk about. But I hope as we start thinking about our New Year's resolution, that one of the things that folks will put near the top of their list is getting their legal documents in order. And for a lot of folks, they have older documents that need to be reviewed, or they've moved here from another state. And again, they need documents reviewed, or they've just never done their documents. And this can be folks who are young or old that just don't have documents, or they had documents done so long ago they don't have current documents or the newest documents that are available. And obviously, hope folks will think about, well, they'll stop procrastinating and get done what they actually need to get done. And I hope they'll come to see us at Alexander & Associates to get these documents done for them, because we'll do them right.
Start the year off right, get those documents reviewed, or maybe you don't have any documents and you want to get those set up. Speak with an elder law attorney so that those documents are doing exactly what you intend them to. You don't want to have a situation where your documents are inadequate for your specific situation. To schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney, you can go to WGALaw.com or call the office 919-256-7000. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to sign up for the free webinars and seminar put on by WG Alexander & Associates. If you or a loved one are dealing with a long-term care crisis, there is a very helpful webinar dedicated to financial assistance for middle-class families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. Covers Medicaid, VA benefits, extremely helpful and hard to find information for you there. You can also learn about asset protection and trust planning, as well as legacy planning in an additional webinar and an in-person seminar. WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top of the page to learn more about these free opportunities for you to get wonderful education from Bill and his team at WG Alexander & Associates. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We hope you have a wonderful day.